Cronulla Scales is Sarah France in After Henry by Simon Brett, with Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, and Jerry Cowper as Claire. A box of chocolates.
You know, Sarah, I used to fancy you rotten in those days.
Oh, really? How flattering.
Yes, you were the focus of all my adolescent puppy love.
Gosh, Peter, how exciting. I never knew.
Well, I asked you out a few times.
Yes, I know, but I didn't know you were sort of interested. I mean, 3 years' age difference is pretty enormous when you're 15. I thought you were far too sophisticated and worldly wise to notice me.
Surely, if I was asking you out, I must have noticed you.
Yes, I suppose logically you must have done. But I don't think one is at one's most logical at 15.
Perhaps not.
Anyway, you didn't seem very interested.
What do you mean? As I recall, I bought you a box of chocolates each time we went out.
Yes, I mean, the chocolates. Well, I mean, all right, perhaps they're a kind of symbol of attraction. But I was expecting a bit more than symbols.
Oh. Well, shall I take this box back then?
Don't be silly, Peter, of course not. I'm very grateful for them. Shouldn't eat them, but I will, with enormous relish. Now, when I said symbols, I was talking about nearly 30 years ago.
Yes. What did you mean, a bit more?
Mm-hmm.
You said you were expecting a bit more than symbols.
Nearly 30 years ago.
Yes, nearly 30 years ago. What was the bit more you were expecting, apart from the boxes of chocolates?
Well, look, I was 15. I was incredibly flattered that you'd invited me out at all. And incidentally, scared rigid. I was all prepared to fall madly in love with you.
Thank you.
Well, not you particularly. Anyone who made the effort to invite me out, I suppose.
Oh, thank you.
And I also suppose, from all the things I'd heard my friends at school saying about boys, I was prepared to spend all my time fending off your wandering hands.
Oh?
Except they didn't wander. At all. You behaved very chastely and properly.
Yes. And what did that make you think?
Made me think I should have worn a padded bra.
Oh?
Well, Felicity Gainsborough in my class always did when she went out with boys, and she seemed to do all right. Came into school practically every day with a scarf up round her neck.
It didn't occur to you, I suppose, that I didn't make any advances to you because I was desperately shy.
No, that didn't occur to me. At 15, I certainly didn't have the confidence to entertain that idea.
Oh, well, it was true.
Really? Good heavens. Oh, dear, that whole period of my life was so cringeworthy. Even now, just thinking of it makes me curl up like yesterday's lettuce. What, you really mean you were shy of me?
Yes.
Mm. Of me and that awful Bavarian peasant blouse and the sticky out skirt and the waspy belt that kept slipping because I haven't really got a waist.
Yep.
Good heavens.
And I would spend whole days psyching myself up to seeing you and promising myself that this time, I really would pluck up the courage to kiss you.
And I spent whole days hoping and praying that you would make some tiny gesture in that direction. I'm starting to curl up again.
Yes. I remember there was one evening, I think about the third time I'd taken you out, and I was really determined that would be the night I kissed you. And I kept being worried that if I made an inappropriate move, you'd never speak to me again.
Oh, Peter.
You'd invited me in for coffee.
Why on earth do you think I'd invited you in for coffee?
Well, I didn't know, did I? It never occurred to me that, well, it seems as if we both had more or less exactly the same amount of confidence.
Sounds that way.
Anyway, you'd got the coffee and you sat on the sofa and you asked me to sit beside you.
Well, short of resorting to telegrams or semaphore, I don't know what else I could have done.
And I sort of casually put my arm around the back of the sofa as if I was just feeling what the fabric was like. And I thought, this is it, Peter, this is the moment. And I was really determined to kiss you.
Why didn't you?
Your mother walked in.
Ah, yes. Well, that would figure. Oh, I don't know. Puppy love is rather sweet, really.
Yeah. Of course, puppies do grow up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in your case, lose their puppy fat. Very attractively.
Oh, thank you.
You know, Sarah, it's been nice to see you again.
Nice to see you again, Peter. Thank you for the dinner and the box of chocolates.
And thank you for inviting me back for coffee.
No problem.
Would I be misinterpreting the telegram or the semaphore to imagine?
I think the signals adults give out are maybe a little more ambivalent than those of 15-year-olds.
I find seeing you again that a lot of what I used to feel has come back.
30 years on. Really? Incredible. Something's still stirring at your age. Oh, Peter, I'm sorry. Widows in their 40s don't get that many compliments. I'm probably not dealing with yours very deftly.
Oh, you're doing fine. And for you? Has anything come back for you?
Well, maybe the odd flicker, a little warm glow, perhaps?
Come and sit on the sofa.
Gosh, you're a lot more assertive than you were 30 years ago.
Yes, but is my assertiveness going to work?
What do you mean?
Are you going to come and sit on the sofa?
Well, why not?
It is really very nice to see you, sir.
Mm.
Yes, it is.
Oh, gosh, that's very positive. No pretending to feel what the fabric's like this time. Arms straight round the shoulder, no messing.
Well, I think I feel a bit more confident than I did 30 years ago.
Do you?
And you, how do you feel?
Not bad. Not really at all bad.
Good. Sarah. Mm-hmm. Look at me. Oh, Sarah.
Peter, you remember my mother?
Really, Sarah, I think you're making a great fuss about nothing.
It may be nothing to you, Mother, but to me it's very definitely something, and I'm very angry with you.
Nonsense. You're just guilty and embarrassed because I came in and found you in flagrante defecto.
Delicto.
What?
Doesn't matter. It's not what I'm talking about. The reason why I'm angry is that after many wars of words on the subject and one or two full-blown rows, you are still wandering in and out of my part of the house just when you feel like it.
Oh, really, dear?
It's true, and then you have the cheek to wander into my sitting room without knocking.
Well, I wasn't to know that you'd been nogging on the sofa, was I?
But I'd be whatting on the sofa?
Nogging. That's the word that always used to send you off into fits of giggles in your teens.
I think the expression that you're striving for, Mother, is snogging.
Oh. Look, I've said I'm sorry. I don't know what more I can do. And I haven't passed any comment about the moral side of it.
Moral side? What? We're only having a couple. If we'd been having a full-scale orgy, it still wouldn't have been any of your business.
Very well. It's just that I'm not sure Henry would have approved.
Mother! Don't you dare bring Henry's name into this.
Well, all I was saying was... All right, dear. Not another word. Mind you, I'm sure if this Peter's really keen, my interrupting your snogging is not going to put him off for long.
Wouldn't be so sure about that. It was 30 years the last time.
What?
Nothing. Anyway, the subject under discussion is still not Peter. We are talking about your wandering in and out.
Sorry, dear?
You heard.
No, I'm getting a little deaf. One of the tedious symptoms of age, you know.
I said that we are talking about you wandering in and out of my part of the house.
Oh, really, dear. You're just as territorial as a king penguin.
What?
Well, I think it was a king penguin. They're absolutely obsessive about their bit of ice in the North Pole.
There aren't any penguins at the North Pole.
Are you suggesting that that nice David Attenborough is wrong?
No, I'm suggesting that you may have misheard that nice David Attenborough.
I think that's very unlikely, dear. There's nothing wrong with my hearing.
I thought you said just now you were getting deaf.
Well, yes, but nothing apart from that.
Listen, Mother, about your coming into my part of the house, I'm going to say this for one last time. Your flat is your flat, Claire's flat is Claire's flat, the rest of the house is mine. Got that?
All seems very clear so far, yes.
And we should only go into each other's parts by invitation, and even then we should have a courtesy to knock on each other's door. Still clear?
Yes, perfectly, thank you, Sarah.
Good.
That's a very large box of chocolates.
Yes, isn't it?
From Peter?
Mm. It's a symbol.
Oh, is it? I see you haven't even taken the cellophane off yet.
No, I haven't.
But you will be doing so.
I'm sure I will. Time, yes.
Dairy toffees are always my favourite.
Is it, Mother? Well, how interesting. I'd better write to the Reader's Digest about that. Maybe they'll pay me some money.
Sarcasm, Sarah, I always think is one of the least elegant forms of abuse.
Do you?
Yes.
Hello, Mummy. Granny.
Oh, hello, love. Are you going out tonight?
No, Julian's coming to the flat for a meal.
Ah.
Yes, and I seem to be out of garlic. I wondered if you... Granny, why are you looking at me like that?
Yes, Mother, what on earth's the matter?
I'm just very surprised, that's all.
Surprised? Surprised at what?
A, I'm surprised that Claire didn't have the courtesy to knock. And B, I'm surprised that she didn't show her invitation at the door.
Oh, no, I can't stand it, Sarah. You and your mother aren't back to not speaking to each other again, are you?
No, no, we're speaking. Full hostilities have not been reopened.
Just a state of armed truce.
That's about it, yes.
Well, maybe we should open up talks on arms limitation.
With a view to better relations in the future.
Yes, you undertake to reduce your stockpile of sarcastic remarks in return for your mother cutting down on her, what would it be? Medium-range emotional blackmail.
Hmm.
Well, it might work.
Well, it'd be easy to get her to say she'd agree to the reduction, but I never could be sure that she'd actually done it.
Ah, the problem of verification. Yes, I'm afraid that's where most arms limitation talks come unstuck, usually just when the treaty is about to be signed.
Hmm. Any treaty drawn up with my mother would also have to include strict boundary agreements. I'm afraid deep down she has the same attitude to frontiers as Genghis Khan. Now I come to think of it, the similarities don't end there.
Ah. Well, keep sending your dispatches from the front line.
I will if you can stand them. I'm afraid they're all getting a bit predictable.
What about dispatches from the emotional front line?
Oh, well.
I meant Peter.
Yes, I thought you probably did.
And? I mean, don't tell me if it's not my business.
Oh, I don't mind telling you. It's fine. Fine.
You're different the way you talk about him.
How different?
Not calmer, less frenetic. All your other emotional entanglements over the last few years have been in a perpetual state of crisis.
Yes, I suppose they have.
But with Peter, you seem, more matter of fact.
Yes, I suppose I am.
Which makes me think that this might be more serious than previous ones.
Oh, I wouldn't say. Yes, I suppose it might. No, he does seem sort of nice. We're relaxed together. I don't know. So difficult to know what people are really like, isn't it?
Well, there's no hurry. You'll find out slowly.
Hmm. Yes. Oh, I sometimes wish you could have a sort of guide to people, you know, a key to their character.
Like you have in one of Peter's boxes of chocolates.
Yes, that'd be good.
To tell if people are hard-centered or soft-centered.
Sweet or bitter.
Or plain.
Tough nuts.
And then you could tell what people were like by their shape.
They could have little squiggles of chocolate on top of their heads as indicators.
Oh, dear, what a stupid idea.
Whereas I think we have a tendency to get over-metaphorical at times.
Over-metaphorical? Us? What an idea!
No, I'm not going to.
Oh, go on. Otherwise I'll feel guilty if I have fun.
Your guilt is something between you, your stomach and your greed. It's nothing to do with me. I'm not going to have any chocolate.
You just want one hurt.
No, it's the thin end of the wedge. If I have one, I'll have two. And if I have two, I'll have three. And before you know, I'll look like a Michelin man.
You won't. Go on. Just one.
No, Mummy.
But look, there's a hazelnut custard. That's your favourite.
No.
You're just doing this to impress Julian, aren't you?
Well, all his other girlfriends have been amazingly thin.
So he wants a change.
I don't think so.
Look, all his other girlfriends have been amazingly intellectual. He was delighted to have a change from that. Don't you see? It's you he likes.
Maybe. But I'm not going to push my luck by letting him have more of me than there is already. You have too much of a good thing, you know.
Huh. Well, I think you're being wrong.
Just because I won't act as a sow for your conscience.
Exactly. I'll feel dreadful if I'm the only person having a chocolate.
That, again, is your problem, Mummy. Anyway, are you sure Peter's still going to like you if you start putting on weight?
Look, he's the one who gave me the chocolates. Anyway, he knew me at 15 when all my curves went out and none of them went in. Anything's going to be an improvement on that.
Hmm. I must go.
Oh, don't leave me. It'll be even worse if I sit here eating chocolates on my own. That really would feel decadent.
You don't have to eat them.
No.
I've got to go and get supper ready for Julian.
Is he coming round again?
Yes.
Well, I jolly well hope you're not going to give him anything fattening.
Cottage cheese salad, fresh fruit and yogurt.
Oh, you're so virtuous, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, I just hope you don't frighten Julian off with all that healthy food.
No danger. He likes it.
He would, wouldn't he? No, I mustn't. No. I know.
Hello, 7947. Mother, it's me.
Oh, hello, stranger.
Mother.
How very nice to hear from you, Sarah, dear. And how are you today?
Very well, thank you, Mother.
And how's the weather in your part of the house?
Mother, there's no need to be ridiculous. You've made your point.
I don't know what you're talking about, dear. Anyway, what can I do for you?
Look, I wonder if you'd like to come down and join me. Yes, Mother, it is an invitation.
When for, dear?
For now.
Now? This very minute?
Yes, Mother, this very minute.
Oh, that's rather short notice. It's usually thought polite to give people a little more notice than that when issuing invitations.
Mother, listen, stop the play acting. I've just opened that big box of chocolates and I wondered if you'd like to come down and have some.
Oh.
The selection does include dairy toffees, which I believe is your favourite.
Right. You're issuing an invitation to me to come and eat chocolates with you right now, at this moment.
Yes, Mother, that is exactly what I'm doing.
Ah.
Well, can you come?
Just a moment, dear. I'll look in my diary. No, I'm sorry, Sarah, dear. Can't make it at the moment. Some other time, perhaps. But thank you so much for the invitation. Goodbye.
Well, thank you. Oh, what the hell?
And what about the weekend?
The weekend? Oh, goodness, Peter, I hadn't thought that far.
I mean, is there a chance we could meet up at the weekend?
Yes, of course. Certainly. If you'd like to.
You know I would. When?
Well...
I mean, what are your commitments over the weekend?
Commitments? Gosh, that makes it sound very grand. Well, my first commitment Saturday morning is a major raid on Sainsbury's to stock up on everything from anchovies to loo paper.
That's fun.
Riveting. Then in the afternoon I've got to get up a ladder and try and clear some gunge out of the gutter.
I could do that for you.
What?
Well, shinning up ladders, it sounds more like a man's job than a woman's.
Well, I hadn't really thought of that. I'm so used to doing that sort of job myself.
You mean since Henry died?
No, since we were married. He was never much good at practical things.
Ah. Well, let me help you.
There's no need. I can quite easily...
Oh, please.
Oh, all right, then. If you insist, thank you very much.
And then I could take you out for dinner in the evening.
Well, it's very kind, but in fact... The fact is, I've been invited out on Saturday evening. By my boss, Russell, to go and have dinner with him and his...
Oh, well, there'll be another chance for...
Actually...
What?
Well, Russell did say if I wanted to invite you to come, you'd be most welcome.
Oh. And do you want to invite me to come?
Yes. Will you?
Yes.
Good.
Well, quite the little couple we're becoming, aren't we?
Hmm.
Doing conventional little couple things, going out to Saturday dinner with other conventional little couples?
Yes. Of course, they're not quite the traditional conventional little couple.
Who? Russell and...
Russell and Bob.
Oh.
Oh, Bob, there's a new bottle of Armagnac in the larder. Could you bring it through when you bring the coffee?
I'm sure you'll have an Armagnac, won't you, Peter?
Please. It's my favourite tipple, I'm afraid.
Don't apologise. Man of taste. Now, let's get this straight. You really mean to say that Eleanor is not making your life a misery?
No, honestly, since that first evening, I haven't seen her.
You don't think she's changing the habits of a lifetime, becoming discreet, do you?
No, that day hasn't come yet. Don't ask for the impossible. No, I think she has just finally taken to heart what I said about respecting each other's privacy. I mean, needless to say, being mother, she's going grotesquely over the top about it, but she's actually keeping out of my bit of the house.
You don't realise how fortunate you are, Peter. Usually any man showing the tiniest interest in Sarah is a signal for Eleanor to go instantly into super surveillance mode.
Absolutely true.
Have there been that many other men showing the tiniest interest in Sarah?
Oh, good heavens, no. I was just generalising. I didn't mean that.
All Russell meant was that we shouldn't question our good fortune. Just take advantage of the fact that my mother is currently leaving me on my own.
Ah.
I must say that it's blissful not having her constantly in, and I know she's doing it to make me feel guilty, but it's having exactly the reverse effect. It just makes me feel deliciously free, able at last to get on with my own life,
yeah,
without worrying what she's up to at every moment of the day. Heaven!
Well, such a rare event, but... Excuse me. Oh, yes, yes, she is. Just a minute. Sarah, it's Claire.
Oh, I wonder why. Hello, love.
Mummy, I'm sorry to break in on your evening, but it's Granny.
What?
I think she's ill.
What's wrong with her?
I don't know. She looks all right, but she can't talk. Doesn't seem to be able to move her mouth properly.
Oh, God.
I don't know. It's just...
Claire, you stay with her. I'll be there as quick as I can. Bye.
What is it, sir?
Mother.
What?
It sounds as if she's had a stroke.
Oh, Mummy, thank goodness you've got
her. Oh, Mother. Oh, no.
Is there anything I can do?
No, it's all right.
You don't know how long ago, love, she was sick like this.
No, as I say, I just came up here.
I'd better call the doctor.
No, Mother, it's for the best.
Look, I could call the doctor for you.
No, it's all right. Mother.
Hello? Is Mrs. France here? This is an emergency.
Calm down, Sarah. She'll be all right.
Oh. How long has the doctor been up there?
Only a couple of minutes.
I dreaded something like this happening. I should have been here.
Don't be silly, Sarah. You have to lead your own life. You're only saying this evening how deliciously free you felt.
Yes, well, it wasn't true. I'm not free. And now I feel just horribly guilty. Oh, she'd be dreadful stuck in a hospital. I mean, the fuss she made about the idea of a doctor coming.
She may not come to hospital, not for long. I mean, she doesn't look as if there's anything too seriously wrong with her.
Except for the speech, no. Oh, God, the number of times I've prayed for her just to keep quiet for a couple of minutes. Now I've got what I asked for.
Sarah.
Oh, it was so pathetic. She was trying to tell me something when I rang for the doctor. She just couldn't get the words out.
Sarah, don't worry. I'm here. I'll look after you. You've got someone you can rely on.
Come in. Doctor.
Hello, Mrs. France.
How is she?
She's all right, Mrs. France. She's going to bed now.
To bed? What, here? She's not going to the hospital?
No.
I should go up and help her to get to bed.
Your daughter's helping her.
Oh.
She asked specifically for your daughter to help her.
You mean she can talk?
Yes, she can talk perfectly well now.
So it wasn't a stroke?
Good heavens, no.
I mean, what was it?
She'd got her false teeth stuck together.
No. What with?
Four dairy toffees.
Four? Cheeky old bat. He's gone right down to the second layer.
Thank you.
Oh, this is decadent, isn't it?
You feeling better now?
Yes.
You got your mother out of your mind?
Well, I heard till you mention her. Oh, just let her wait. We will have quite a confrontation in the morning. Still, that's in the morning. I don't want to think about her now.
No.
Steve, this old bat, though. Talk about being caught red-handed. Not only coming into my part of the house, but nicking my chop.
You weren't going to think about her.
No. No, I wasn't. No, I'm not. Sorry.
Have another one.
Shouldn't, but thanks. Got to over a hill. I think it does you good once in a while to do something that you know does you no good at all.
Like finishing off a box of chocolate.
Every now and then, Henry and I used to do that. Get through a whole box at a sitting. Worked rather well, you see. I liked the hard centres and he liked the soft centres, so we didn't fight over any of them. Just slowly and deliberately worked through the lot. Well, except the Montelimar, but then no one likes the Montelimar.
I like the Montelimar.
Do you? Ah.
Sarah, will you marry me? Sarah, I asked you if you'd marry me.
I know.
You didn't answer. Were you just surprised?
No, I don't think I was surprised, really. We've been seeing so much of each other recently. We've been getting on so well. And there's a sort of inevitability about it.
What, that we should get married?
No, that you should ask me.
Oh. Does that mean no?
Yes, I'm afraid it does.
But, Sarah, you're on your own. You need someone.
Yes.
As you said, we get on so well. We're relaxed together.
Yes.
Well, I don't understand why.
Nor do I, really. I just know.
But I want to look after you.
Yes. I think that's part of it.
What do you mean?
Well, look. Over the past 4 years since Henry died, I've gone through all sorts of things. A lot of them haven't been very pleasant. But, you know, In that time, I've changed too. I'm not the same person as I was when Henry died.
In what way?
I'm more independent. I've had to be. And though I didn't particularly want it, now I've got that independence, I value it.
You mean you don't want someone to look after you?
I mean, I don't want someone to crowd me.
Ah. Have I been doing that?
No. But you have it in you.
And, is that the only reason you won't marry me?
Well, that and... I don't know. Silly things. For instance, the fact that you like the Montélimar.
What?
I'm sorry, I'm not explaining it very well.
No, you're not. I mean, come on, Sarah, not to want to marry someone because they like the Montélimar. I mean, is that reasonable?
Well, perhaps not reasonable, but it's... Well, that's the way it is.
But disagreeing about the taste of the Montélimar is not a symptom of incompatibility.
No, but not seeing why I might think it a symptom of incompatibility could be.
I'm not with you, sir.
No.
You've lost me completely.
Yes, Peter, I'm afraid I have.
But can't you still stay friends?
Oh, sure, yes. In these situations, you always say you'll stay friends, don't you? Somehow it doesn't often work out that way.
No. Oh, well, it's funny, but I thought you were ideally suited.
Oh, I thought so.
So I was really surprised.
Who was I? Yes. I was surprised. No, I kind of fantasized about Peter asking me to marry him, and then when he did, I found my mouth was producing these words and turning him down.
What, you mean you didn't say what you meant?
Oh, no, I said what I meant, exactly what I meant. I was just surprised to find out that that was what I did mean.
No second thoughts?
Yep. Still bloody Henry, I'm afraid.
Ah.
For a bit longer. Now, what do you want me to do?
Oh, good morning, Eleanor.
Hello, Russell, dear. Good morning, Sarah.
I came up to see you this morning, Mother. You were out.
Yes, I suddenly realised I hadn't got any milk, so I hurried out to the corner shop.
I got a bone to pick with you.
Oh?
Look, do you realise what you did yesterday? You went into my part of the house and you got me so worried that I... Mother!
Well, sorry, dear. You know I'm a little deaf.
But only intermittently dumb when you've wolfed down too many dairy toffees.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, never mind. What's the point?
Anyway, I wanted to see you this morning specially, Sarah, which is why I came here. Hope you don't mind, Russell.
No, of course not. I think I know why you've come, Eleanor.
Oh?
To apologise to Sarah.
What? Oh, good heavens, no.
Surprise, surprise.
No, Sarah, I just wondered whether you'd like to come in for a glass of sherry this evening.
Oh, a bit formal, isn't it?
Ah, but remember, dear, we should only come into each other's parts of the house by invitation.
Of course. All right, thank you very much, Mother. I'd be delighted to come.
Oh, good. Say, about 7.
Okay.
Well, I mustn't keep you. Goodbye, Russell.
Goodbye.
One thing, Sarah.
Yes, Mother?
Please have the courtesy to knock on the door when you come.
What?
Well, you didn't last night. You just burst in without a by your leave, didn't you, dear? Goodbye.
Russell! I really will kill her one of these days. I really will.
In A Box of Chocolates, you heard Prunella Scales as Sarah, Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, Jerry Cowper as Claire, Julie Berry as the Doctor, and Tom Wilkinson as Peter. After Henry was written by Simon Brett and produced by Pete Atkin.